It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And it has been 2 weeks of flowers blooming and fading and blooming and fading. I couldn't believe how this past week, I think the last time we talked was on the, when would that have been, the 7th or 8th? 8th, maybe. At any rate, the smooth rose, the wild rose, began to bloom at my house on the 8th. By the 10th of last week, the petals were coming off in the wind, and they are well on their way to having completed their bloom. But while they were in bloom, boy, they were just abuzz with all sorts of bumblebees. And speaking of things being a buzz, the spreading dogbane began to bloom this past week. And the thing about spreading dogbane, a couple of things about it. One, the leaves are dark green and the stem is red. If you pick a leaf or if you break the stem, you'll see a very white alkaloid sticky sap come oozing out. But the amazing thing is when the spreading dogbanes bloom, and that happened this past week, they begin to open their flowers, and almost immediately they are just covered in butterflies. I was looking at my pile of spreading dogbane yesterday, and there were Atlantis fritillaries and Canada tiger swallowtails and monarchs and a whole host of the little skippers, the tiny butterflies that are kind of a little bit trickier to identify. And they just were having a feast there. Apparently the spreading dogbane has a very powerful aroma, and it attracts any number of insects to come and drink the nectar and do the pollination. The other thing that's kind of cool about these spreading dogbane is that in August, they'll be the first plants to turn yellow in the fall. And then they start in August, so you're going to get an early jump on fall color. But the pea pod, or the pod that forms on the spreading dogbane, it's about 3 inches long. It's very, very small, but it is absolutely a pea pod-like structure. And that thing is going to break open and yield the seeds that will become the plants of next year. So if you have spreading dogbane, or if you see some blooming, it has these very small, less than half an inch, white flowers that are streaked with pink. And like I said, the stem is red and the leaves are a deep green. Pick a leaf off. If you see that white sticky sap, you'll know that you're dealing with spreading dogbane. If you find the spreading dogbane, mark the patch or remember where it is and come back and harvest some of those seeds, because this is a very, very nice plant to have in your yard. It's easy to take care of. It grows well despite weather, and it provides a great spot for lots and lots of butterflies. Among the other plants this past week, the hawkweeds are getting going. Hawkweed is, the yellow ones look like little dandelions, and the orange ones are, the orange hawkweed has got a deep orange outside ring with a more yellow, kind of a less orange or a less reddish orange inside ring, and the orange hawkweed has a dark green stem. Now, all hawkweeds are invasive. All hawkweeds cause the extermination, but they force out native plants. And if you've got hawkweed growing on your fields, the cows aren't going to like the hay. They don't care to eat hawkweed. It is very, very hairy, and I don't think there's anything about it that I'd like to eat. But if you have the hawkweed growing in your yard, I know it's a beautiful little flower, but the best thing you can do is mow it down and keep it mowed down, because otherwise it's going to spread, and it'll spread across your yard and then to your neighbor's yards and then to the farm fields near you. And the ultimate outcome of that is not positive. So orange hawkweed, yellow hawkweed, I try to get rid of it wherever I find it. If you're into orchids, now is the time to get out in the swamps. The showy lady slippers have begun to bloom. Rose begonia is blooming. Dragon's mouth is blooming. These are all startlingly beautiful orchids. And then there are all the smaller, less ostentatious orchids that are probably blooming as well. So get out into a bog near you and check out the orchids. You won't be sorry. Up on high ground again, hoary alyssum, a kind of a dry, summery plant, usually comes up and has clusters of flowers, white flowers at the top, very small white flowers in a cluster. And normally they'd come up and split at the top, and you'd have three or four or five flower heads at the top of each hoary alyssum. It is so dry out there that they are single stalk in a single cluster, a small cluster of tiny white flowers at the top of the hoary alyssum. Along the edges of the roads, you're probably seeing that bird's foot trefoil blooming. Columbine, Canada columbine, that red flower that hangs down, the one that's specifically designed for hummingbirds, is blooming right now, probably at its peak of bloom. The common fleabane began to bloom this past week. And fleabane is sort of a daisy-like flower, except that where you would, and the oxeye daisy is blooming right now. The oxeye daisy is about 2 inches across, white petals, white rays, and a tiny, half-inch wide yellow disc in the center, quarter-inch to half-inch wide yellow disc. The dogbane is about 1 inch across. It has, where a daisy might have 12 to 15 rays, a fleabane is going to have 50 to 100 to 150 rays, tiny little spikes of rays that circle the flower, which is in the center. The common fleabane can be identified from the other fleabanes in that its leaves clasp the stem. So if you look at the leaf structure and see how it aligns with the stem of the plant, if it's common fleabane, which is the one that I found in bloom this week, the leaf sort of wraps itself around the stem. Not all the way around, but it definitely clasps the stem. And the stem of the common fleabane is very hairy. My trailing arbutus, I've been watching it for years, and this is the time of year when it puts out new leaves. And this year, it is really kicking out the leaves. The little patch that I have protected from the deer is just covered in brand new leaves, and likely going to need a bigger fence. It's starting to creep through the edges of the fence, and I know that as soon as it gets outside the fence, the deer will be there to eat it. White clover is blooming, that Dutchman's clover, the clover you see in your yards, white clover blooming. Curly dock, this is that plant that in another week or two, the top of it is going to turn a kind of a bronzy color, reddish bronze color, as the flowers, the seeds ripen. The flowers, it is in flower right now, and I have seen some that are also breaking seeds. So watch the curled dock in your yard. Common blackberry is kind of on its way out, done flowering. I still have bushes of it with flowers on them, but they are in the process of retreating. Same is true of the raspberry. And hopefully we will get blackberries and raspberries this year, because a little survey of the fruit trees in my yard, Juneberry, chokecherry, blueberry, no fruit made it through that hard frost. So we'll just have to wait and see. In the swamps and in the watery areas, blue flag, wild iris is blooming. If you're walking around like I was yesterday out in the fields, you'll probably see a little bit of hop clover, which is a bright yellow clover. You won't miss it. It looks like all the other clover you're familiar with, but the heads are bright yellow. And out in the water, the white water lily or sweet water lily is blooming. That's the big white one. The yellow one's been blooming for a couple of weeks, but the big white one is blooming now as well. Lots and lots and lots of new dragonflies. Gosh, it's just every week is exciting. The most common, the most frequently seen dragonfly at my house right now is still, for the third week in a row, the chalk-fronted corporal. Now, they are well on their way, so almost none of them are without the prunios markings, that white marking on the abdomen and on the front of the thorax. If you are looking at those, the ones that are white are the males. And if you look at a bunch of them, you'll see that some of them are not as white. They're more of a gray, and those are the females. Prince baskettail dragonflies, 12 spotted skimmers, pond hawks. The pond hawk is especially beautiful. The male is sky blue, and the female is, wow, what would you say, almost a lime green, really electric green. They are gorgeous, and they are out right now. Among the other insects that I'm seeing, white admiral butterflies, monarch butterflies and caterpillars, and the resultant herbivory on the milkweed plants. It looks like this generation of monarchs is getting a good start, and we will have our next generation probably in another week or so. The first ones arrived around the 25th of May, and it'll be about 30 days after that we get our second generation here. And they will go on to emerge, lay their eggs, and a third generation will hatch sometime in August, and that generation will begin, that generation that hatches in August will be the ones that will migrate down to Mexico and return to Kansas and Texas and wherever, and unleash the group that will arrive here next spring. Trumpeter swans, the trumpeter swans on my lake are swimming around with a group of cygnets. I've been down there several times. They are quite secretive, but in two of the times that I've been down to the lake, I have seen them. Both times I didn't have my binoculars, and both times they were too far away to get an accurate count. But I know there are at least three cygnets and probably five, but hard to tell with my naked eye at the distances that I've been forced to watch them from. One of these days, I'm going to arrive there with my binoculars, and we're going to work this thing out. I saw a mallard duck this past week, a male mallard duck, still in breeding plumage and still flight worthy. So this is the time of year that they are about to start their eclipse molt. They will disappear for 3 or 4 weeks. You won't see a male mallard duck around. But when you do see the next one, it will be not quite as ostentatious as they are right now, because right now they're in their maximum breeding plumage. They're going to go through a molt and they're going to come back a little ragged looking. And then by the time they get ready to leave late in the fall, they'll start to look pretty good. So lots of things going on. I know that I've left out a couple things. One thing I wanted to mention, I have had a conversation with John Zazada, and I've had a conversation with Dallas Hudson, and I was looking at Season Watch this morning, and somebody who lives up on Lake Irving, all of those people are talking about basswoods being very close to flowering. Now, this is the 15th of June, and typically the basswoods flower around the 8th of July. And I don't know if it's the drought, I don't know if it's the high heat, I don't know what it is, but in a lot of areas, basswoods are definitely getting close to flowering right now, which would be 3 weeks ahead of their normal flowering time. So if you have a basswood near you, you should get out and look at it. And if you have signs of flowering coming on, why don't you send me a note and let me know, or send us a picture, put post a picture on Season Watch, KAXEKBXE Season Watch. Post a picture on there and let us know that the basswoods are in fact flowering at your house, or conversely, not flowering. That would be more what I would expect. So let's take a look at our basswoods and see if we can't get some definitive information about whether or not they are about to flower in our area. It would be phenologically well out of the normal for the basswoods to be flowering this early. So that would be important to me and to you, the listeners, I suspect as well. That's the Phenology Show for today. If you have comments, questions, or observations you'd like to share, please send them along. We're waiting to hear from you.